Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on another night of international action. Scotland are in Liverpool to play the Ivory Coast in the latest World Cup preparation friendly. Six or seven changes, says Steve Clark. So what will tonight look like when the team takes the field? There were some boos at full time on Saturday. Can this one end with a bit more positivity? And with that in mind, we've brought together two of the most positive pundits, no laughing at the back, you could possibly find. It's Gordon Dalziel and Hugh Keevans.
I was there on Saturday at Hampden, and the booing was barely audible, and the stadium was half empty by that stage anyway. And for me, these matches that Steve Clark is negotiating right now, the Ivory Coast tonight, the Japanese last Saturday, they are the equivalent of pre-season friendlies. It's something he has to go through in order to prepare for the big picture. The big picture is still weeks away.
If the most dramatic, negative, Grim Reaper-like pundit we've got at 3 minutes past six says it was all a big storm in a teacup, I don't really know where we go from here. He's bringing some calm to the situation.
I agree with Hugh for once in a long time. I think he's right. I'm not too much into friendlies. I know that we have to go through it, get the team together, get one or two players. It'll be interesting tonight. The only excitement for me tonight is, you know, five or six changes. Who's got to get an opportunity? Is he got to change his shape? Finlay Curtis got to come in. One or two others going to get a chance there. All it is a distraction to the best ever Premier League we've had, and ever, and the excitement with seven games to go, and I cannot wait. Looking forward to tonight's game, and I cannot wait to the weekend.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. What are you thinking tonight? What do you want to see? Steve Clark has already shown his hand up to a point. He says six or seven changes. So what would you like those changes to be? Who do you want to see given a chance that didn't play at the weekend? What alterations would you have in mind? Are there other players perhaps that you think could benefit from staying in though? Maybe that's a whole other way of looking at it. Players you think that need the game time, or experiments that need a bit more time to see if they work or not. Give us all your pre-match thoughts, please. It's only down the road, of course, down in Liverpool, so you could phone from there. Maybe you're listening, maybe you've taken your nightly habit with you on the short trip. Why not give us a call and let us know how you're feeling. Maybe even a bit of an eyewitness account of what that new stadium looks like. I think the three of us wouldn't mind being down there. It certainly looks like quite a nice place to play any game of football, never mind an international. So all your thoughts there, and anything else surrounding the fixture, the World Cup build-up, the preparation, the personnel, even the booing if you want. But Hugh Keevans has told you, we're making too much out of this. But that's kind of what we're here for as well. So 0141 951 1025. Every single night, no matter what the main headline is, somewhere in the background will be that title race as well. So if you've disregarded international football altogether and you would rather talk about the title race, you can do that as well. Something a bit more specific. It's not massive breaking news. I think it was a pretty open secret as of last night, this morning, but Rangers fans, Rabi Matondo finally moves on. By all accounts, everywhere you read, it was a big wage off the wage bill. Are you starting to see that squad really starting to get sort of trimmed and coming together as to where you want it to be moving forward? So you can make it specifically about Rabi Matondo, or maybe what it says generally about the way the squad is being sculpted at the moment. And if there's anything else out there, 0141 951 1025.
Let me tell you that I enjoyed my day at Hampden on Saturday, and I met so many listeners to this programme, and they were fantastic. So that's why I can't be bothered with all this stuff about the booing, because the crowd were really enthusiastic. Everyone that I met, terrific people, and it was a pleasure to be among them. But tonight,
who is this ray of sunshine? No. And what have you done with the old Hugh Keevan?
No, saying that because he never booed him.
I'll come back to it later on. But tonight, the city of Liverpool means only one thing to me so far, and that's Scotland against Wales, World Cup qualifier, Joe Jordan, the penalty that never was, and Kenny Dalglish's header. Unbelievable night of excitement at Anfield. But now it's the other half of Liverpool who are hosting the Ivory Coast and Scotland. And I repeat, these matches are what Steve Clark has to go through in order to find out about players, in order to put minutes into legs. But if anything should go wrong tonight, then a I'm very much afraid that the negativity will continue. But for me, the big picture doesn't start until June.
01419511025. Give us a call. Whatever it is on your mind, we would love to hear from you. Let's go live to the Hill Dickinson Stadium. Not really said that before. Well, apart from last night, but let's not split hairs. Gabriel Antoniazzi is there looking ahead to it for us.
Yeah, Gordon, good evening from the Hill Dickinson Stadium, Everton's Park here in Liverpool. Scotland's second World Cup warm-up match, taking on Ivory Coast, as we all know. The two teams have never met before. Scotland haven't faced an African team in 12 years since a 2-2 draw with Nigeria. Manager Steve Clarke said Ivory Coast were identified due to their similarity to Morocco. From the same continent, of course, the Atlas Lions are Scotland's second World Cup game in the group in June, and that's clearly the focus here. As Hugh says, all eyes are now on America. Clarke has promised 6 or 7 changes, as you've already mentioned, but it really, really interesting to see exactly what he does do with the team, Gordon. I asked him yesterday whether these games are more about finalising his starting 11 for the summer or about seeing who'll be in the 26, who will be on the plane. And Clarke said it was very much the latter, claiming the tournament is still far too far away to be thinking about his exact lineup. So in terms of personnel, you think Shea Adams is likely to come in up top for Lyndon Dykes. It'll be interesting to see if he has a look at goalkeepers or keeps Angus Gunn in between the sticks. Possibly a new centre-back partnership as well. We know that Clarke does like to change them up, even during tournaments. You'd expect Billy Gilmore to come in and start in the middle of the park as well. So we'll bring you team news when it does come, Gordon, at about 6:30, with kickoff coming an hour later.
I think the most alarming news out of this international break, it was Andrew McLean who reported from the Hill Dickinson last night. How have both of them wangled this trip?
How's that happened? Don't or know. Is one of them taking ill and
No. I think
became the substitute.
Do accounts know about this?
I think they've pulled the wool over someone's eyes, quite frankly, to get a trip down there. Are you impressed with your surroundings, Gabriel? Are the Scotland fans going to enjoy this? I know a lot of people have been sort of wondering, you know, asking why it's there and what's the point. Andrew was talking about it last night. It's kind of simple and boring. It's just Ivory Coast's home game, and it's better to play it in Liverpool than it is to go over there. So, you know, African teams often do this with lots of their players based on the continent. So it's their home game, isn't it?
Yeah, as you say, it is their home game, and it makes more sense for them to play here. And it also gives both teams the aspect of essentially playing at a neutral venue, which they will be doing when June and July rolls around in the World Cup. Of course, both teams have qualified for the tournament. But just on my surroundings, the stadium is excellent. The pitch is perfect. It wouldn't look out of place at any club in Europe, really. It's up to date here, high tech. The food downstairs looks very good. Excited to try that. One thing I will say, the traffic coming here was abysmal. Meant to be a 15-minute drive, took an hour and 10. Andrew and I starting to sweat that we might not make it on air at all. And imagine neither of us had made it when two of us had been sent down. But in terms of the city, I mean, a great place. My first ever time here in Liverpool. It was walkable, perhaps not the prettiest, but the people fantastic. And Gordon DL, you would love it here. Monday night last night, the place was absolutely jumping, and not just with the Tartan Army. Bars were packed out until 3 a.m. Bit of culture as well. We were in the Cavern Club of Beatles fame, of course. Enjoyed ourselves just like the Scotland fans have. The thousands down here having a great time.
The Liverpool Tourist Board would like to thank you for that critique of their city. Not the prettiest, huh?
I'm not sure I enjoyed the comment about Gordon DL would like it. I just didn't like it. It just sat. It just made me uneasy. I don't know what he meant.
I must admit, it's one of my favourite. I've been there.
Yeah,
I've been there. A lot of culture I took in when I was down there.
I bet you did. Gabriel, a lot of Scotland fans made the trip. What's the feeling like?
Yeah, we don't know exactly what the ticket sales like. We're expecting it to be packed out. There were so many Scotland fans, more than we thought, thousands and thousands. They're in great mood today, very far away from the splatter of booze at Hampden on Saturday night, as Hugh says. It's been very jovial. They're in the city centre all day and out last night as well. I will say that the new away strip is out in full force, and what a kit that is. I can't wait to see that in the sunshine of Miami. Many fans we're speaking to talking about that they didn't want to miss this because it's only a few hours from Glasgow or Edinburgh, and it's kind of the last away day before the United States. Many we spoke to were lucky enough to have tickets, and they can't wait for that. And it was really today, this afternoon, a taste of the World Cup fever that will inevitably take over, not only in North America, but back in Scotland when June comes around. But speaking to fans as well, Gordon, think many of them, almost all of them, were agreeing with what John McGinn said yesterday, that these friendlies are not about the result. Of course, you want to win as many games as you can, and winning is never a bad thing. It's a good habit. But this is more about performance and having a look at players, just finalising and preparing as well as we can before the World Cup comes around.
I read this morning they're anticipating a crowd of 35,000, don't they? Amazing for Ivory Coast versus Scotland in England.
You've seen how steep some of those stands are.
Yeah, I heard
think,
you say that
last
night.
I don't think they're for you two. A man of your age, a man of your fear of heights.
Yeah.
Wouldn't recommend it. You're better off here in Clydebank.
Well, I used to freak out at Easter Road.
It's pretty steep.
Oh, they're very steep. But I'd love to go and see those stadiums. I think Spurs, the Emirates, and obviously the new one at
Everton. I just can't believe those two both have been sent to this.
Have you heard? Have you not picked up what you're saying there?
Sharing a room.
People have been out since 3 o'clock in the morning, which tells you they've joined in.
It's a jolly. Yeah. It is a jolly. Thank you to Gabriel, who'll bring us teams in the not too distant future. Simon is a Scotland fan on the line. What are your thoughts ahead of this one, Simon?
Hi, Gordon and Hugh. Hope you're all doing well.
Good, thank you.
Just left my hotel in Liverpool. I'm not too far from the stadium, thankfully. So I made an executive decision to go back to my room earlier. I wouldn't have seen the game. but don't worry, Dazzler. I did you proud last night in Liverpool. It's been a
Don't want to know what that means. Just you carry on.
Yeah, looking forward to the game. Actually, I think just a quick touch on the one on Saturday. I think that some of the comments are a bit, you know, OTT. I think the booing, although it was a small percentage, I think was again over the top. I do appreciate it was £50 a ticket minimum, so you know it's no cheap day out. And I get maybe people were not necessarily people who would go to Scotland games every week. It felt a bit like a friendly atmosphere that you would get at, you know, in domestic game. But yeah, I think it was a bit over the top with the players we have at our disposal against a really, really good Japanese. But yeah, so into the game today, I'll go through the team I'd like to see, if that's all right.
Go for it. Take it away.
Yes, I think Angus Gunn should stay in goals. I think we need to get him as much game time as we can. I think Patterson, again, similar situation. He's a better player than Ralston. I think if Hickey's fit, it'll be Patterson and Hickey will be the two going to the World Cup, so get him some game time. I'd like to see Dom Higham play. I think he's playing at a good level. McKenna, I think, had a good game on Saturday, and he's playing at an okay level as well. He's apparently doing really, really well in Croatia. So him, Andy Robertson at left back, Gilmore, I'd like to see Billy come back in. I'm torn between having Ryan Christie playing deep, where he does play for Bournemouth, or playing out on the left. I think probably play, I'd like to see him have a go deep and see how he can do that for Scotland. With McTominay behind, Curtis on the right, Conway on the left, so I think again did all right on Saturday. I think he needs another run there, and I'd like to see George Hurst play up front. I think he deserves a go as well. So yeah, a bit of a change to the team. If Christie played out wide, I'd like to see Lennon Miller come and take his place in there. But yeah, so I think it still needs to be a decent team, because you know, Ivory Coast are a really, really good side. I watched the highlights of the game against South Korea, and they are a really good side.
Yeah, they won 4-0, didn't they? Was it 4-0,
4-1? Yeah, 4-0.
4-0 at the weekend.
At the MK Dons.
Does that sound like the types of changes you would expect, Gordon? Mm-hmm. Will Simon get close to his wish? What would you look for?
I don't think it would be too far away. I'm a bit concerned about the right-back position. I know what Simon's saying there about Patterson and Hickey. I think he would need to take three right-backs for me. He'd need to take somebody that could play there, because to be fair to the two lads, they pick up injuries quite a lot. Hickey would be ideal. I didn't think Patterson had the greatest game, but he's not played a lot of football. So I totally agree with what Simon's playing. Get him playing there. Gunn, suspect at the goal for me. Hurst, come on, he looked okay. He looked lively, as his word. I don't care who. I think he's got to. I would like to see Christie playing in that deep role. Look, he plays in the biggest league in the world with Bournemouth there, right? And he's absolutely brilliant at times. So get him in there. Let's see what he can do, because we know what he can do further forward. Love to see young Finlay Curtis tonight for the beginning. So he said he's promised his six or seven changes. I'm not really interested in the result. You know, we looked at Japan at the weekend. It is, when it comes into the second half, Hugh's right, it's like a It's just like a friendly game. It's like a training game at times. You make substitutions, you try different things. The only thing I will say is I am not going to sit here and say you should never boo, because if you're paying 50 quid and you feel that you've not been entertained and that wasn't worth, I totally get that, because 50 quid nowadays is a hell of a lot of money to
that's,
go and
that's all watch, the start, the 50 quid.
Yeah, yeah, go and watch a football game.
Take it to £100 by the time your day's over.
100%.
These are the challenges that Steve Clark's got tonight, Hugh, is this juggling act, because, you know, for all we know, Simon makes a good point. Just take Nathan Patterson as an example. Simon makes good, want to see him again, think he's a good option. He's not been playing a lot of football, so, you know, get him in again. But it might be the case that for his, and I know he's been fit this season, but due to his kind of the last few years, maybe Nathan Patterson doesn't go and play for Scotland Saturday, Tuesday, and maybe it's a request that he has to come out. So he's kind of spinning a lot of plates tonight, it feels like.
You know, the Dazzler made the point about having three fullbacks, and Ralston would go, because, you know, you give credit to those who put Scotland in the competition.
Or does Ross McCrory play tonight?
Well, I think the changes would be quite radical. I think that Stevie Clark pointed in that direction. And, you know, no matter how radical, the only relevance that the result has tonight, and it's a fairly minor point, but Scotland haven't gone back-to-back games without scoring a goal since 2024, when the Northern Ireland and the Netherlands. So you would not want to have back-to-back zeros, but that's the only relevance the result has for me.
Yeah, I mean, Simon, is that very much the mindset, just building up to the summer? We talk about momentum all the time in football on here, when we're talking about league action and going week to week. I do wonder what momentum looks like in international football. I've heard this a lot over the last week. We need to get in the World Cup with momentum, which is a nice concept, but it's also March. You know, I don't know. I find myself genuinely confused as to, can you edge a game 1-0 tonight? Does that somehow give you momentum for the summer? Do you think that's the way it works?
No, I don't think it's. I don't think it works for that. I think when we go into the games against Haiti and that, I don't think anyone will remember any of the games, the pre-season ones, and they'll only be the pre-World Cup ones. I think they'll only be brought up if it, you know, it goes negatively at the World Cup, like it did obviously in the Euros. I think what Dazzler was saying there about the right back situation, for me, I think we saw at the end of the Denmark game who the backup right back should be. If we need to be, it's Kieran Tierney. You saw how well he played that when he came on towards the end of that game, scored the goal because he was cutting in on the right on his left foot. I think he is a really good option to have if we need to be more solid, or we need to, you know, push for something. I think he offers everything at that position.
So,
and
you don't think you need to carry another one then?
No,
ultimately,
two would be enough, and then you've got that option where you can put him in there if needs be.
That's a good point. I agree with Simon. I think I said that you had to have somebody that can get and play in that position, because I don't think you can just go there with two out and out right backs and then think, oh, hold on a minute, because these two guys, they have picked up a few injuries in their careers. They've hardly played any football lately. But if, you know, Tierney, as you quite rightly say, he's a magnificent football player. So, yeah, we could get away with him going over there. But you would have to have cover for me on that side of the pitch.
The hardest thing, Simon, for this Scotland team for many years, and it will continue to be, because you can only pick the players that are eligible, is at that top end of the pitch. It's about match winners. We've bemoaned this for years. We've now found a way, though, of kind of overcoming it, because we've got really good midfielders that can contribute with goals. Scott McTominay, John McGinn, you don't need me to tell you. Then latterly, Ben Gannon-Doak's injected a bit of pace, and X Factor, he's obviously not there at the moment. Is it worth sticking with Tommy Conway out wide tonight to see if that can somehow blossom into something? Is that why you're keen to see Finlay Curtis? What can we do to get more out of this group at the top end of the pitch?
Yeah, like you say, with Finlay Curtis and Tommy Conway, I think if they came in tonight and had the good games, then that's, you've suddenly went from one option in a wide areas to three overnight. I feel like, you know, I hear this comment quite a lot, and it was mentioned, I think you said it on Sunday, you know, that we've qualified for three tournaments, but with the team we have, we should. I'm not sure how much credence should really be in that, to be honest. When you look at the actual squad and the players we can choose from, we've got two what I would say is world-class players, McTominay and Robertson. I think we've got a group of good to very good Premier League players, guys like McGinn and that. And then you're looking at, we don't have a centre-back that's playing in any of the big leagues in Europe. None that would get anywhere near the Premier League in England. Again, right-backs, we don't have any that really can stay fit for very long. You know, up front, we've got no width except for Ben Gann and Doak. Up front, we've got guys from Torino and Charlton and Ipswich and Middlesbrough. I think, to be honest with it, and tying all back into Saturday, I think the fact that we've booing after that, and I appreciate the £50 thing, and obviously I brought it up, and I appreciate that people are entitled to do whatever they want, but I feel just after, you know, what happened against Denmark, three tournaments qualified for, I feel like that was just a bit OTT considering, you know, the players, we don't have strikers, we don't have wide area, we don't have, you know, those world-class centre-backs. So to say, you know, we should be qualifying for these tournaments, it seems just a bit ridiculous considering we've had really good squads in the past who have all obviously had holes in it as well, because we're Scotland, we don't produce players in every single position. I think what's happening at the moment is, you know, the glory era of Scottish football. I think we'll be looking back in this in 20 years and going, oh, you know, I wish we could go back to that point. And again, just another wee point on that, people calling for the manager to go after the World Cup, or even some people online you've seen before. I feel like you look at international football, look at other countries around our size, and look at the managers that they've got. You know, Wales had to go for a guy who had no managerial experience. You know, look at Northern Ireland, they've got a guy who is coaching half and half. He's doing Blackburn at the same time as he's doing Northern Ireland. You look at Ireland, again, a guy, Hallmundsson from Iceland, who, you know, had his last managerial job was Jamaica before that. You know, you look at those countries and you think, you know, if we did get rid of Clark and we did move and we want to go a bit more progressive or whatever, you know, who's going to take that job? Who's that manager? Or do you just stick with a guy you know is going to get you to tournaments, you know has already built a rapport with the squad, and you know has already built something? And I feel like we need to be a bit more appreciative of that, because it's been a long, long time for me to be able to say I'm going to a World Cup, and thankfully I'm in Providence, not Boston when I get there, so the trains shouldn't bankrupt me. But yeah, I think we just need to be a bit more appreciative of the job that Clark's done, be a bit more understanding and be a bit less Scottish. We all want to moan all the time, and let's just enjoy this, enjoy tonight, enjoy the build up to the World Cup, because it's very rare that this happens, and let's just hopefully we go to America and put on a show this time.
Well, we'll just leave it positive for a second, because it won't last for long. So Simon, we appreciate Simon's positivity. He's going to the game tonight. Give us a call, whether you're watching from home, down there, or even if you want to change the subject, we will speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Gordon DL are here, 0141 951 1025. And speaking of which, every caller who gets on air tonight, you'll be entered in to the draw to win a pair of tickets to Ladies' Day at the Coral Scottish Grand National. It's at Air Racecourse, Friday 17th of April. Gates open 11:45am, and it's right through until the last race at 5:15. It's a proper day out, that. You can check out the details, air-racecourse.co.uk. But we are going to chuck in a club badge, race car, drinks, snacks on arrival, and all the rest of it. So why not call up the show, make a point to the panel, and then you're in the hat for the tickets anyway. You do need to be over 18. All the T's and C's are on the website. We're about to bring in Alan, but in fact we've got teams already a bit earlier than I anticipated. No, it's not, because it's a 7:30 kickoff. I had lost track. Gabriel, what's happening? How many changes? Who are they?
Yeah, Gordon, Steve Clark promised 6 or 7 changes. It's actually a whopping 9 from Hampden on Saturday night. Only Scott McTominay and Andy Robertson keep their place from the weekend's loss to Japan. Looks like it's going to be a change of shape as well. We've seen the kind of 4-2-3-1, 4-3-3 being used regularly. Looks like this could be another 5 at the back. 5-3-2, probably. So the team is Liam Kelly in goal. Defence of Ross McCrory, Dom Higham, John Suter, Kieran Tierney and Andy Robertson. In midfield of Billy Gilmore, Ryan Christie and Scott McTominay. George Hurst and Shea Adams are the two up top. Substitutes: Gunn, Bain, McGinn, Patterson, Dykes, Hendry, Miller, Ferguson, Conway, Ralston, McLean, Irving, Curtis and McKenna.
Hold on, could you have said that any quicker?
I know.
I'm just by the 2 centre-halves.
Right, go on, give them it again.
For goodness sake.
Liam Kelly's in goal, a back five of Ross McCrory, Dom Higham, John Suter, Kieran Tierney and Andy Robertson.
Yep.
You got that, Daz?
Yeah.
Right, writing it down.
Gilmore.
A midfield three, Billy Gilmore, Ryan Christie and Scott McTominay.
Yeah.
Duo up top of George Hurst and Shea Adams.
Good man.
There we go. I mean, Gordon, What do you make of that? The nine changes obviously is the headline, and if we've said that it is all about trying different things and experimenting and seeing who's fit and giving game time and all that, can we complain? You just need to take that for what it is.
Do you know, funny, I was going to say at the top of the show, and it's easy to say it now, I thought he maybe had changed the shape. I thought he maybe, with Tierney coming back in, he'd have went to the three at the back, two wing backs, which leaves no room for the guy I want to see is Finlay Carras. Mm-hmm. And I know he's just broke into the scene and he's got to wait his turn like everybody else. I like the fact that he's went with two up top, Hurst and Adams. I think it gives him a bit of firepower up there as well. Midfield looks strong. The width will come from obviously two wing backs, and then you've got your three centre halves. And for me, Suter's best performances this season have been
for Scotland.
And great to see him changing the goalkeeper, because I think he needs to start playing his goalkeepers. As much as we hear Simon saying, look, Gunn's not had a lot of games, so we need to get him in there. If Craig Gordon's fit, Craig Gordon will be our number one. But we've got to see what can Kelly do tonight, throw him in.
If it's about experimentation and not aspiration, because Steve Clarke couldn't care less what the result is at the end of the day, then I think he's entitled to that. A little surprised at McTominay and Robertson there. It's almost like Callum McGregor at Celtic. You know, they play everywhere, you know, every game, every competition.
See, in fairness, though, is it now a good time for that? Because Andy Robertson isn't playing all the time for Liverpool.
Yeah.
Scott McTominay, I am very surprised, because he's coming off an injury as well. He's been flogged, it feels like. A couple of things. Andy Robertson doesn't play every week at the moment. He's back in his adopted home city, and tonight takes him up to the second most capped player of all time. He goes ahead of Jim Leighton, well, onto 92, 10 behind.
Congratulations to him, but we know for sure that unless something calamitous or miraculous happens, McTominay and Robertson were the first two names written down for the plane. But I agree with the Daz, you know, let him do what he wants, the manager, because these are... he's in the workshop, if I could put it that way. He doesn't have the finished article yet. He's in the workshop. So let the man go on with his work.
Alan is on the line. What's your point tonight, Alan?
Hi, good evening, Gordon and Gordon Shue.
Hello.
What are you thinking, Alan?
First time call. I'm actually quite annoyed that Finlay Carras is getting mentioned into the Scotland squad. He's quite young at the moment, and he's trying to get his career sorted out. I'm a Rangers supporter, so... I think maybe he should get brought in maybe to the under-21s and just build up for there, because, you know, he's still young. As I say, he's obviously been loaned out to Kilmarnock, which is not very fair on the boy.
I think it's a tremendous compliment to Finlay Carras that he's in the squad. I don't think it's unfair on him in any way. He got 10 minutes at Hampden on Saturday. He might get another 10 minutes tonight. He's not being overplayed. He's not having any burden placed on his shoulders. I think... it's a no-lose situation for Steve Clarke, for Finlay Carras, for Neil McCann, for Kilmarnock Football Club, for Danny Rule. I really can't see why you'd be upset about this.
Everybody always says Steve Clarke doesn't give enough young players a chance. He needs to bring in new faces. He's always sticking with the old pals act. That's what people always say about Steve Clarke. And now you're saying Finlay Carras is too young for a call-up.
No, I just think it's too much pressure on the boy, and he's trying his career sorted out, obviously, with my club Rangers. And obviously, what if he picks, even Shue saying 10 minutes or 5 minutes, what if he picks up an injury and it's quite a bad injury? So what happens then?
You can't call up any player then.
You could pick up an injury warm. You could pick up an injury train. You could do that. Listen, I think it's brilliant for a boy, right? I take on board a little bit what Alan's trying to say there, right? But
what
I think
bits?
He's trying to think that, you know, let the lad concentrate, and, you know, he's went out from Rangers to Kilmarnock. Let him concentrate and being a regular first team player, and because he's not played a lot of first team games. Me personally, there's two things to this, right? I thought Alan would have went in the side that I was going to go, and I wouldn't have let him go to Kilmarnock. I would have played him at Rangers. I think he could have played a big part. I think the boy's got something special about him. I think he's a very, very good player. Listen, even if he doesn't go on the park tonight, that boy will be in cloud nine. The confidence will be sky high. He's in amongst the top players the guys like the McTominays, the Robertsons, he's watching every single thing that they're doing every minute of the day. He's training with them. So it's a brilliant experience for him. As a young kid growing up, all I wanted to do was travel with the first team. When I became a professional at Rangers at 16, I wanted to go on the bus, I wanted to travel with the first team, I wanted to see how the David Coopers, the Sandy Jardins, the Derek Johnstons and guys like that, how they prepared for games, how they went about it in the dressing room, their warm ups and everything. So that's a great experience for
fans. If Alan's afraid of pressure, then
well, I was going to ask on the subject of pressure, Alan, two cameo roles in friendly matches, is that much pressure?
Well, it's not really in a way, but as I say, the young boy's trying to get himself sorted out with his career, with Rangers. Obviously, he's loaned out to Kilmarnock. I thought he might be put into the under-21s first and get a wee feel of things, you know what I mean?
He's too good for the under-21s. Simple as that. He's too good for the under-21s.
Maybe, but is it not more, Gordon, it's about where he plays on the pitch. If Finlay Curtis was at the level that he's at and he was a central midfielder, he wouldn't be in the squad. But that's the whole point. Everybody, apart from Alan, keeps saying Steve Clarke needs to find wingers, needs to call up more wingers, needs to give youth a chance, needs to take a look. So that's why he's the one that's in there. As we said, if he's a central midfielder who's gone on loan to Kilmarnock and is trying to sort his career out in the way Alan puts it, you're not getting called up because you don't need him, because you've got Gilmore and McTominay and Christie and McGinn. We have no wingers.
Yeah, and throw into the mix, if he was a centre forward scoring goals, he wouldn't get called up. Barney Stewart at Falkirk, for instance, right? So, look, if he were playing four tonight, he would have probably got a game. I know what you're saying about playing him in under-21s. That boy will get more out of this than he'll ever get playing the next 5-10 games in under-21s. Let's be honest about it. It's not about fitness. It's not about showing what he can do. It's about the experience of going, this is a level I need to reach to make sure I'm in the squad every time the squad's announced.
What about that, Alan? Can he benefit from the experience? Can he go back to Kilmarnock a better player, then go back to your team, Rangers, a better player? It might be a good thing.
Yeah, I suppose he could in a way, but as I say, I just thought maybe I'd be called up to see, because I'm actually down south and I was driving back to the hotel and I just heard it, hey, Finlay Curtis, you know what I mean? I'm saying it's not really fair on the boy in my point of view, because obviously he plays in my club and obviously he's loaned out, and gave him a chance to, you know, just get his head together and maybe bring him in, you know.
But you make him sound like a bag of nerves. I mean, this is someone who's in the Rangers team and scoring goals, who then elected to further his career by going to Kilmarnock, getting more game time, and is outstanding with Kilmarnock. And if he had not left for Kilmarnock and stayed at Ibrox, he would have been, on the subject of pressure, expected to make a contribution towards the winning of the league title. That's pressure.
If he hadn't gone, the friendly's helpful, he'll be one for nobody's got him. His ticket's not on. He's not booked on the plane yet. Nowhere near it. So that's
I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't. Right. Listen. Also, what Hugh's saying there about going to Kilmarnock, he wouldn't be in the Scotland squad if he hadn't gone to Kilmarnock.
Yeah.
Let's be honest about it. Is he a stick on for a plane? No, he's not. But that experience for this week, being in amongst that squad, is absolutely priceless for a boy. It's brilliant, and his growth going forward.
Alan, that is the whole point of this. We can agree to disagree, and it was a pleasure to have you on. You are in the hat for the tickets to Ladies' Day at the Coral Scottish Grand National Air Races as well. So thank you to Alan for that one. It is 01419511025 if you'd like to join in, and we would love to have you. 9 changes to that team from the weekend. Dominic Hyam, we don't see him start Scotland games very often. In fact, I think this will be his first start. He came on, didn't he, against Norway? Remember that famous night, the Dykes in Oslo, Dykes and McLean in Oslo, sorry, he came on that night. He starts the match, Liam Kelly starting the game as well. So there's a bit of change that might interest you on the phones. Get in touch and we will speak to you next.
Clyde One.
750,000 pounds up for grabs in the next Make Me A Winner. Gary became our latest winner on Friday there. He's £700,000 richer. Only £700,000, because we're going up again. £750,000. Kickstart your long weekend with the biggest win ever. To text the entry, it's yes to 61025. The texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll find all the rules over there for this network competition. Or you can call 03434 269 340 and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. Lines close 5 p.m. on Good Friday. Somebody wins the lot, it might as well be you. Good luck. Text yes to 61025.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Hugh Keevans are here, 0141 951 1025, to get involved. And of course, every caller who makes it on air goes into the hat for the tickets to Air Races as well. Ladies Day coming up in the not too distant future. Actually, a package arrived for you.
Oh dear.
Gordon DL.
For me?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I'm going to do what the, I think the kids call it, is it an unboxing?
Do you know, are that? You going to open it
before?
I'd rather you open it than myself.
In case it's like,
in case anything goes off,
chemical weapon or something.
Yeah, the batteries.
I think it was buzzing.
Well, you better open it then.
You know, the grandkids into unboxing videos.
I don't know what unboxing means.
Well, it's just open the box, as the name suggests.
I don't understand my grandkids anymore. They were, I had to say 6767.
Oh, don't. But anyways,
what does that mean?
I'd be careful.
Somebody phone
here
in and try and tell them, right? So
I'm not liking the look of that.
So I think to unbox it, you need to.
Do you
like,
know what it is?
You make all the sound effects in the. You have to like.
Oh, that didn't sound.
Is that working?
There's nothing in that.
Is this what? Is that working? Am I doing it right?
Yeah,
kids?
Yeah.
Am I on YouTube yet?
Yeah.
You sound like Hugh Keevans. Oh,
do you know
magnificent.
What?
Magnificent. This is magnificent. What look is at that.
Both
the Dazzler. Darby Steele.
Who is it?
Come on, let's unbox further. Sorry if I'm upsetting any collectors out here.
Hold on. For MD listener, is that supposed to look like me? Is this what we're getting to here? Is that where my life's going?
That is your spit and image.
You've just thrown my head off.
There we go. Look at that. Can we zoom right in on that? That is the spit and image of you. This came up last week on the show. Is it Darby Steele from Toy Story? Someone sent it in.
Keys it over here.
To say that you look like that. And some very kind listener, Paul Duffy, says, enjoy the gift. Not every day you have a mini-me superhero. Give it to the big character of Mr. DL. Look forward to SSB Live. Paul from Steps.
How
go.
Much would that skin look pull that. For Steps?
I don't know. That's not really the point.
Can
we zoom in on that?
Shook.
Can we zoom? Do these cameras have that function? Because that is your spitting image, honestly. Look at that.
What's his name?
Darby Steele.
Darby, that's what I want it called in future.
There we go.
Every phone's in, it's Hugh and Darby.
There we go.
Hey, watch.
You're more Darby County than Darby Steele.
0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need. That does look like you though, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
You're a mixture between him and Lou Carpenter.
By the way, I've got one of the suits. And my knees are like that, they're not so right. We'll stick them there.
Anyway.
Like Darby, get a grip of yourself.
Get the calls coming in. I'd much rather talk about the foot. As much as I appreciate the gift from Paul who sent it in. Oh, hold on, you've got a gun. You've got an accessory.
I know, but that's gun, no, the first one I'm shooting. Don't worry, Hugh, it's not you.
There you go. Add that to your arsenal, quite literally. 0141 951 1025. Get your calls into us right now if you can. Let's hear from Steve Clark ahead of this game against Ivory Coast this evening.
No, a difficult game. Like I said, my players don't like me because I keep picking tough friendlies. But if you want to get better and you want to learn, you have to play against good teams. Slightly different style of play to the Japanese side that we played at the weekend. Strong, direct, quick. Defend well, attack well. The last game, they were very clinical against South Korea. So now we expect another challenge, big challenge.
They're actually five places higher up the world rankings in Scotland are, so we are playing a team who are literally above us.
Do you know what I like? I like the way Steve Clark puts all the thought into it, right? He's looking at our World Cup opponents and he's building up friendlies to play against teams. You know, it's not easy games. Everybody thought that we were a shoe-in to beat Japan. Japan, the rankings are miles in front of us. Good team. They've been to the last, what, 8 World Cups or something?
98 was their first, and it was our last, and they've been to everyone since. I think they've been out the groups
exactly.
4
so
times.
What gives us the right to go in a friend and just roll over Japan 3-4-0? It's never going to happen. Tonight will be another difficult one as well. 9 changes there. I hate to say this, it's not about the result, it's about playing players, having a look, keeping the squad together, the introduction of young Curtis, Finlay Curtis and people like that. Kelly tonight gets a great opportunity to go and get another cap and, you know, have a look at Hurst and Adams together up front just to see if there's a little bit of spark there, because we're going to need something different when we go to America. So I'm quite interested to see how this game's got to go.
Charlie's on the line. Take it away, Charlie.
Hi, Gordon, how you doing? All right, guys.
Yeah, thanks.
You and Gordon. But Gordon, Hugh mentioned at the start of the show there that he says you could hardly hear the booing at Hampden. Maybe one of the reasons you could hardly hear the booing was, well, there was a boy on the show maybe 6 months ago, maybe more, and he got laughed off the show, to be honest, and I thought it was a poor show on yourselves' behalf. The guy got laughed off the show and never got a chance to come back because he used the word acoustics. He articulated himself quite well. He put his point across well. He put his point across how bad Hampden was with its shallow slopes. And you were talking about the steep slopes in the park tonight. The shallow slopes, the big rounded edges, the worst seats in British football when you're behind 8 goals, the dump that Hampden is. If we get 35,000 going to the game tonight, I've got a field day 35,000. We'll put on a better atmosphere and the game will be a whole lot better than it was the other night there. See if it turns out that it's leaps and bounds better. Are we going to eventually admit that Hampden is no longer fit for purpose? It is generations, not just one generation, it is generations out of date.
Can you revisit something you said at the start? So are you trying to say that there was a lot of booing, but you just couldn't hear it because the acoustics at Hampden aren't good?
There was definitely, you can try and belittle the point all you want, Gordon.
I'm not trying to belittle it. I'm asking if that's what you meant.
They were booing. You probably did. You would probably have heard it better in a better acoustic environment. Yes.
Listen,
that's what I mean.
Charlie, can I just ask you, were you watching the game on the telly?
Yes.
Right. Can you take the word of an eyewitness?
Right, go on.
It was barely audible. I mean, nothing to do with the fact that I agree with you. Hampden is out of date, yes. And it's a pity because Scottish football doesn't have the money to knock it down and start again. You either have to play international matches at Celtic Park or Ibrox and do away with the national stadium, or you have to put up with the antiquated state of the place. But believe me, I had to stay to the very, very end because my grandson refused to leave before the game was over. The booing was barely audible.
I think you could hear it, but I think what you could also tell is that it wasn't as big a deal as it's now been made out to be, because Steve Clark's asked about it. His comments are quite strong. Headlines, by the way, there was very little else to talk about from the game as well. Yeah. So it kind of goes on for days and days.
I think Charlie's biggest gripe is obviously the stadium, right? And forget the booing. And some people, they're entitled to, like, if you pay 50 quid and you're not happy, then fine, fill your boots. But I'm totally on Charlie's side. The one thing I never liked it as a player, I've managed there in a cup final, semi-finals, and you just feel isolated. There's nothing to it.
I don't think if the occasion is up to, how...
We've been to the big games.
How was the atmosphere that night against Denmark?
Yeah,
I know what you're saying, Gordon, but I think the atmosphere against Denmark at Ibrox or Celtic, the roof would have come off. Right, I know what you're saying. The atmosphere was good, of course it was, and we all enjoyed it because we get caught up in the frenzy. But I think if you're going forward, I totally understand what Charlie's saying about it as a spectator going there.
But this is the country where, if you say, right, it's between Celtic Park or Ibrox, there'll be a row over that. Gordon is quite right. The atmosphere in November against Denmark was superlative. But that was because of the circumstances, because of the nature of the spectacle. It's not a modern day stadium. It's antiquated, but it's our antiquated stadium. And
it also feels like, yeah, by the way, like, it's not, you know, I know Charlie thinks I was trying to belittle his point. I'm not really sure where he got that from. The you can have your thoughts in hand, and it just feels like maybe a couple of months before the World Cup is probably not the time for that debate. Well, I don't know, maybe when is the right time?
I've been listening to that debate for decades, and I mean decades, about the state of Hampden. And we got a new south stand where the old dilapidated one used to be, and we've tried our best. But the bottom line is, the Scottish Football Association could not begin to look at revamping.
They've probably
Hampden
got
stadium.
Other things on their mind for the next few months as well. So let's see what that brings. Thank you, Charlie. 01419511025. Why not jump on board with this?
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. You have to get your call in before 7 o'clock to take on Hugh Evans or Gordon DL. So let's hear from you right now.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans and Gordon DL are here. Why not join them? We're building up to kick off in this friendly down at Everton Stadium up against Ivory Coast. It's 9 changes for Scotland tonight, so clearly Steve Clarke trying to look at some different bits and pieces. What do you make of it? What are you hoping to achieve? Who are you liking the look of? Who would you have rather seen? All that sort of stuff. Get involved. And we're into the second hour. Why not mix it up a little bit? If you want to talk club football, we're absolutely here for that as well. Give us a call, please, on 0141 951 1025, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, it is Beat the Pundit time. Either Hugh or Gordon DL will take on Stephen in Kilburnie. How's it going, Stephen? Have you ever played this before, Stephen?
No.
Good stuff. Who would you rather play out of these two? They're not, neither of them are great, are they?
I would like to play Hugh.
Right, I don't mind that. A bit of experience. Did you not, though, to be fair to you?
I crashed and burned on Thursday.
Oh, did you?
Remember Jean-Pierre Papin?
Oh, yes.
Tuesday, yeah. I'm good.
That was
for
not
some
good.
Reason, I'm good on a Tuesday.
That was
and I
not
just,
good at
I crashed
all.
Crashed and burned on Thursday, Sean.
Did you hear that, Hugh? A real history of football lesson. He was asked who the original World Cup trophy was named after. Which Frenchman? He said Jean-Pierre Papin.
As opposed to Jules Rimet.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, sure. You know you're French.
And of course they've stitched you up because there's a nice video of is out there on our social media channels. Did you not win a tiebreaker recently though, which is very unlike
you? I won last week. If I go a tiebreaker, I always go 100. I always win it.
Right, so let's toss the coin, Stephen. If it is the blue side, it's blue for Hugh and red for Gordon DL. Let's see what we've got here. And it is blue for Hugh. So Stephen's got his wish, and we'll give Hugh something else to listen to. Stephen, 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and if you want to pass and move on, that is absolutely allowed, okay?
Okay.
Right, 30 seconds then, going on the clock for Stephen, and your time starts now. Name any player in the Scotland squad who's got only one cap.
Liam Kelly.
Scottish footballers Brian, Ross and Luke all share which last name?
Pass.
James McFadden got his final Scotland cap whilst playing for which English club?
Birmingham.
Scotland's Kim Little captains which English women's Super League team?
Chelsea.
Who has the naming rights to Hampden Stadium?
Pass.
Name the last international side that Scotland played in England.
England.
Okay, let's bring him back. Can you hear us, Hugh Evans? Same set of questions. Are you ready?
There are followers for you here.
Oh.
They're easy.
I don't think so.
Oh, pfft. Easy.
Right, let's find out. 30 seconds on the clock. Same questions to Hugh Evans, and your time starts now. Name any player in the Scotland squad who's only got one cap.
Oh, Curtis.
Scottish footballers Brian, Ross and Luke all share which last name?
Graham.
James McFadden got his final Scotland cap whilst at which English team?
Everton.
Scotland's Kim Little captains which English women's Super League team?
Chelsea.
Who has the naming rights to Hampden Stadium?
Scottish Gas.
Name the last national side Scotland played in England.
No.
Okay.
England!
Oh, it's a trick question. Let's go through them. How do you feel, Stephen? You feeling confident?
50-50.
Right, let's go through them and find out. Name any player in the Scotland squad who's got one cap. Loads of choice. Kelly, McCrory, Hayam, Irving, Finlay. Finlay Curtis, sorry. So yeah, you both got it. One all. The Scottish footballers Brian, Ross and Luke all share Graham. Brian's at Falkirk, Ross is at Dundee United, Luke's at Dundee. 2-1 to Hugh Keevans. However, James McFadden, I see where you were
Birmingham,
going.
Birmingham, was it?
Birmingham was his when he got his last cap, which Stephen got, so he equalises. None of you got Kim Little, a legend down at Arsenal, not Chelsea. I was disappointed in you here. You were there at the weekend, the naming rights to Hampden. See the big massive sign above the door when you walked in that said Barclays Hampden.
Oh,
come on you. You're thinking of the Scottish Cup, it's Scottish gas. So none of you got that, which means you're still level. And the last national side Scotland played in England was England. And Stephen kept his composure. Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
I'd love to use this opportunity to ridicule you.
Yeah.
I think that might have thrown me as well.
Yeah.
I think that might have. You confident you'd have 100% spotted the trap?
100%. Yeah.
I'm not sure I would have.
100%. See how I said they were easy, they weren't that easy.
I know, it was at the Euro, Stephen, so you have pipped him at the end. Well done to you. Happy with that?
Yeah, delighted.
Good man. What are you taking, sign ball or beat the pundit coin?
Sign ball.
Okay. I'm noticing the ball's gone through a bit of a renaissance. I think
know,
at the start
what?
People wanted the collector's
the
item
coin.
The coin
is beautiful.
That's fine. Who's your team, Stephen?
Celtic.
What are you thinking after this international break then?
I think you need to find a bit of consistency. I don't see Celtic having the consistency to go over the line, although I hope I'm wrong.
I'm not sure it's consistency. I think it's players Celtic need, is it not, Stephen?
Yeah, we definitely need some of them as well.
That's not going to happen. So what is there a kind of hope, Hugh, that sometimes breaks work in mysterious ways? There's been some sort of a reset to whatever that means and people come back galvanised. And
yeah.
I mean, because if it's not that, if it's anything close to the pre-break form, yeah. then they won't win the league. It's kind of simple, isn't it?
I've rarely known, and Stephen can back me up on this, I'm sure, I've rarely known a support to be plunged into despair as quickly as the Celtic fans were after the awful performance against Dundee United at Tannadice. And Martin O'Neill has now said, one more game without winning and it's all over for Celtic, and they're away again to Dundee on Sunday. I do think the squad's in disarray. I think Martin O'Neill has been badly let down by the people who brought him there, and I hold out no hope whatsoever of Celtic winning the title.
No hope whatsoever?
No.
I wouldn't
give Celtic 1% of a chance of winning
goodness,
the title.
Come on.
1%? 1%?
I wouldn't give them 1%.
Jeez, he's a hard man to please.
Strangely enough, I don't think Hugh will be the only person sitting saying this. Because you look at them, and I know you can take into consideration one-off game up at Tannadice, the pitch, everything that goes along with everything that happened on the day. They're losing players. They're not hitting form. I don't think they've got a lot of goals in them. And I totally agree. If they go to Dens at the weekend and even draw, you can forget it.
Yeah.
We're at the strangest season ever. Serial winners like Celtic, people are now tipping them to finish third with seven games to go.
But I think if you closely look at the squad, then that's not going out on a limb to say they could finish third. They, particularly up front, they have one poor forward after another, and the display at Tannadice was appalling.
You'd give them more than a 1% chance, Stephen, would you not?
Yes, definitely.
On what basis?
Are you putting a number on it?
I would go about 35, maybe 40.
Very specific with the 35.
No, I think that the squad is obviously lacking a lot of depth. I think the fact that they've got over the line and so many times over the years, I think that will go in their favour when it gets to the kind of nitty gritty side of things. It's as they say, is there enough goals in the team for us to win the league? I don't know.
Well, they've lost 5 times this season away from home, Stephen.
Yeah.
And, you know, on other occasions I can think of so many off the top of my head. Callum McGregor's 90-odd minute goal at Paisley, Julian Araujo's goal at Kilmarnock to make it 3-2. They've got over the line, but they're just not... The bottom line here, they're not good enough to win the league.
I don't want to labour this point too much because it would just become a bit of a minefield. So you putting a number on it. Hugh's gone 1%. Stephen's gone 35-40. What would yours say?
I think they're...
And then we'll need to knock it in the head.
I'll be honest, I think they're in danger of finishing third. I tipped them to win the league and I've stood by them.
So you're going with Hughes 1%?
No, I'm not going. They need a massive turnaround and I don't know where they're going to get it from.
Not really answering the question.
See, the worst thing for me, if you're a Celtic supporter, you look at the disaster of the transfer window, you look at the disaster sitting third just now. They've still got a chance to win the double. It could end up a great season for them. And also on top of that, would you regret not selling Ingles for 25 million?
Well, yeah, with the benefit of hindsight, that's one of the many daft decisions that have been taken at Celtic in the last 12 months. But
is that, to be fair, is that more a sign of just how chaotic this season's been than anything? Because it wasn't called daft on deadline day. You know, people said you just can't, you know, the PR, the optics, whatever it is, you cannot sell your players. You don't know at that time he's going to get injured.
Yeah.
And we don't yet know where they'll finish. But obviously, if they finish third and he's missed most of the season, then of course, with hindsight, you go, my goodness, how did we turn that down?
But also, incredible things go on, like signing Balakwisha for £5 million. And he is, to all intents and purposes, a non Celtic player now. So when they're really up against it, they can't go to a man they paid £5 million to sign. Because it's useless.
But at the top of that, Hugh, I think the big problem as well is, and it was, what was the caller's name? He said that
Stephen,
talking about scoring goals. They brought in two centre forwards in January.
Yeah.
And they went back to Maeda, really.
Yeah.
You know, so look, never say never, because it's Celtic and they have got quality players and they have got a terrific manager that goes with it. But that's a real uphill. They cannot afford to drop any more points.
You can press play and record, and I'll say it again. I wouldn't give Celtic 1% of a chance of winning the league.
Nobody's pressing play and record in 2026.
They are in my house.
They just go into the wherever they get their podcasts, and they'll just rewind it back to this moment.
Are you talking about that wee recorder thing?
Yeah.
Two buttons.
It's incredible. Brilliant. Thank you very much to Stephen in Kilburnie. A victory on Beat the Pundit and giving us his thoughts on domestic football at the moment. So get in touch with all your thoughts. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB if you want to do it that way. And let's stay in touch throughout the evening as we build up to kick off at the Hill Dickinson Stadium. But if you want to switch topic to something else, that is absolutely allowable as well. We'll maybe cross back there soon, reminders of that team, and get Gabriel to fill us in a bit on the opponents that Scotland face tonight as well. But I think we can speak to Billy, who's on the line right now, just along the road presumably in Clyde Bank. Let's bring in Billy. How are you?
Not bad, Gordon. Thank you very much for bringing me in.
What are you thinking tonight?
First of all, hello, Gordon. Hello, Hugh.
Hi, Billy.
I hope you are both well.
Yeah.
It's about the Rabbi Matundo situation. I am absolutely delighted today that he has been moved on from Rangers.
So are Rangers.
Because that shows me that the board and the management are really looking forward to next season. They're getting rid of the high wages. I mean, he is a high wager. And I've heard different stories, you know, through social media and different people about the amount of people that Rangers are going to get rid of. Because obviously, before there's an entrance of decent new players for next season, there's got to be a mass exit, you know, because obviously you need to balance the books. And it fills me with a lot of hope.
I'm just amazed that anybody came in for him, because how do they know what he can do? He hasn't played for Rangers for a long, long time. You're correct, he's on a fortune in terms of wages, and the club will tonight be ecstatic that they'll get rid of him. I'm just amazed that Bran brought him on board? How, you know, no one's seen him play football for a long, long time.
He's still an international footballer. He's still been there. Somebody, he'd have been on somebody's radar. But don't let's be kidded here. It's great to get him off the wages. You hear all the rumours of what he's on. But it'll still probably cost Rangers a pretty penny, because he will not be leaving a big contract to go for less wages. So if he goes to Bran and say, for instance, he's took a drop in 50% wages from Rangers, Rangers would, there's a deal to be done there. Agents do deals. So as much as it is great to get him off the wage bill going forward and a new a player out and looking forward to summer, I'll guarantee you that there still cost Rangers a couple of quid.
Yeah, but not as much as having to keep paying.
But everybody thinks, oh, right, we've got him off the wage bill for nothing because Brand's going to pick up the wages. It probably won't happen that way, but it's a good bit of business because as you go further down the line, you ain't going to be used. Nobody's got to play him. So you may as well try and strike a deal with him and his agent and move him on, and then it frees up more space in the summer for Danny Rule to bring in new players.
But, yeah, is this more of a kind of indication rather than anything? I didn't expect the phone lines to be red hot with people reacting to the news that Rabbi Matondo has moved on. As you say, we don't really see him in a Rangers jersey. He's had injuries. He's been out far more than he's been in. It certainly feels like. You do hear the rumours about the wages and so on. Is this more about Rangers fans feeling that it's another step towards getting the squad and the club probably thinking of where it needs to be? You know, adding some decent players, what it looks like in January, and Chukwuane and Romans, and we'll see about Nadiri and all the rest of it, but also moving out those that aren't contributing.
Yeah, they are currently making good progress in the recruitment front, but Matondo was symptomatic of a time when all manner of players were coming in who were clearly not up to the job. The close season will see an amazing clear out of dead wood at Rangers and at Celtic. They will be flying out the door if the club can get rid of them, because they've signed so many bad players who are hopeless. Those who are on permanent contracts, how do you get them out of the place?
It's actually harder to get people out than it is to get people in. We've seen it before. If you're not going to get your wages matched if you're leaving a club, then you've got to sit there on your nice contract. And a lot of players nowadays, modern players, they're not interested in saying, well, I need to play every single week. They're more happy than to look at the financial side of it and say, right, get me a deal and get me out of here. And I agree with you, I think there will be a big turnaround.
If this is a positive sign going forward, Billy, is this also a look back at a time when the club made a few expensive mistakes?
Yeah, definitely expensive mistakes. It's just, I think they were just trying to keep up with Celtic, and at that time they couldn't keep up with Celtic because Celtic was spending the money at that time.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But now I'm not saying we're on an even keel by any matter of means, but I think with the 49ers coming in, they're saying, listen, this is what bump. They've put a president in place. We need to do this, we need to do this, we need to do this. And get Rangers back to what this should be.
You just can't guarantee it, Gordon, obviously. And look, Rangers will pay somebody a lot of money who doesn't contribute that much again. It just, it happens, you know, no club gets 100% of the recruitment correct. But I think that, is he, I don't mean to be unfair on him either, personally, but is he a symptom of a time when, you know, Rangers got a few of these things wrong?
Yeah, all clubs do. There's still, you know, the question marks over Chermiti at $8 million and the wages that he'll be on. Yes, you can argue, well, he's produced against the big two, Hearts and Celtic. That's where his goals. But for me, if you're paying $8 million, as much as that's great, valuable, and you make yourself a hero with Rangers fans, bread and butter, you've got to do it against other clubs as well. Of course, every club does it. You can look at Celtic, you can look at Rangers, you can go down the leagues. You know, as much as teams that, like, say, the Motherwells and Hibs and teams like that haven't got the same money as what Rangers and Celtic have, they still bring in players that don't work and they still have to heft out a few wages for them. And that's just nature of football. You cannot guarantee a player or a manager's got to be successful.
Thank you very much to Billy on the line. Before we go on, just wanted to give a quick mention, a quick shout out to Shooting Stars, a charity football match coming up for Alzheimer's Scotland. Taking place on the 12th of April at Broadwood Stadium in Cumbernauld. That's a week on Sunday. It's a bit of a mix. Former footballers, celebrities going head to head. Scotland featuring the likes of James McFadden, Lee McCulloch, our own Sid, Simon Donnelly. Does anybody play more charity games than this guy?
Sid loves it. Sure. Aye, for 5 minutes.
Joined by the likes of Sanjeev Kohli, Matt Costello from Still Game, the rest of the world. Some recognisable names. You'll laugh at one of these: Jim Goodwin, Nacho Novo, Marvin Bartley.
Oh,
many people is he going to injure? The Dodger.
He's in the rest of the world.
Well, he's not from Scotland, so.
Yeah, oh God, I can't believe he's getting a game.
Anyway,
bench.
Tickets are £10 each. Under 18's free, all for a good cause. It's alzscott.org/stars for tickets. Keep the calls coming. We'll speak to you next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Just about to kick off at the Hill Dickinson Stadium between Ivory Coast and Scotland. Looking forward to seeing what tonight brings. It is, of course, really just about intrigue more than anything. We've made 9 changes to the team. You look at players like Dominic Hyam starting for the first time, Liam Kelly starting for the first time, Ross McCrory's only started once before, George Hurst's only started a couple of times before, so there is a lot of change, a lot of freshness in that team this evening, building up to the World Cup, of course. So we'll keep an eye in the first half hour or so. I've got a themed teaser for you, so let's sum that up.
International. Right, Darwin should come on.
The full-time teaser with Arcplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
I think Ewan and Dennison's picked the wrong night for this question. This has got kind of Roger Hanna written all over it. Since 2002, 7 players from the Ivory Coast have played for either Old Firm side. Since 2002, 7 players from Ivory Coast have played for either Old Firm
Cherry.
Side. What are you going for? Kolo Touré, yeah. Yes.
Did he get?
Nope.
No, he was in the Ivory Coast.
He was not.
That's not a good start here.
No, it's not a good
I've
start.
Got Touré, but you're no Chapman.
Okay, you quickly scanning the Ivory Coast team
Diomande
to see if anyone
Diomande.
That's a different Diomande.
Oh,
by the way, right, hold on. You're right, but you've got lucky.
Diomande?
Yeah, so for anyone who's not watching the live stream and just listening and wondering what I'm on about, Gordon has seen Diomande appear on the TV, the name. It's not the Rangers one, so he's just shouted that name out. But technically, yeah, you're correct. I have to give you Mohamed Diomande and Kolo Touré are the two so far.
Come on, Hugh. You've got one there. Have you?
No, I just wrote down Diomande.
Right, okay, we'll give you some thinking time. Thanks to Ewan and Dennison for sending it in. Thank you to our sponsors, Arcplan Glasgow, as well. Stevie is on the line. How are you, Stevie?
I just watched the game.
What are you thinking then?
Again, I've said this, not mean the Japan game didn't mean anything to us because obviously it's a friendly, but we're there. So rather than being the team that teams want to play to get them ready for the World Cup, then we're. Or no, just getting ready for the World Cup. The big Sir Alex on the telly there, let me know we've got a flag, love that. And but I just think it's funny that you said obviously about 5-3-2 because all day I've been saying that. I mean, I says I think if we go 5 at the back, 3 in midfield, 2 up top, then that's a plan B for Morocco and plan B for Brazil. So it's not mean if it's needed. Obviously, I was saying to the producer there that. I mean, Kieran Tierney, as I was saying earlier on about right back.
So, what's he just on that, Stevie? Let's cross to Gabriel. I was getting carried away and forgetting it kicks off so early. Let's just get a quick recap of that team, Gabriel, and take us to kick off.
Yeah, Gordon, Road to 26 branding is all around this stadium. That's what it's all about tonight for both teams. The result is not of primary importance. It's about performance and the ability for Steve Clarke to have a closer look at his players, giving them a chance to prove their worth for a seat on a plane to America. An opportunity of a lifetime for many of these men. Their last chance to impress until Clarke names his squad for the World Cup. And you can see that in his team with 9 changes. So it's Kelly in goal, McCrory, Hyam, Suter, Tierney and Robertson at the back, Gilmore, Christie and McTominay in midfield, Hurst and Adams up top. It may technically be a home game for the Ivory Coast, but it certainly feels like this game, being played in England, is in Scotland with over 30,000 fans here, blue, white and that new pink away strip filling out the stadium. World Cup fever is really starting to spread across the Tartan Army, and it's over to these players now. Gordon, Billy Gilmore stands over the ball, and we are about to get underway here at the Hill Dickinson.
And there we are. Stevie, sorry, I cut you off in full flow, but I had to make it before kick-off, so you carry on.
There's Kenny there as well,
isn't it? I mean, not I was just MDL, you can see. Who's that? Quick.
This is like Gogglebox. We're watching TV
watching number 12.
The number 12 for Ivory Coast, Dazza. No, Dazza said earlier on about the right back, but I mean, we played Tierney right back against Denmark. They done all right. So I think that's going to be something that we maybe use. Not if we need something for the game and that, but the two up top just excites us because. The boy Hyam, I mean, I've been watching him with Exum, that, I mean, he's just outstanding. So, yeah, it's not, I mean, he'll probably be a bit nervous tonight when he's playing in the international games and that, guys. But you just think, say to yourself, we're playing these World Cup friendlies or pre-season friendlies or whatever, but we're going to a World Cup. What is everybody talking about? I mean, we're going to the World Cup, you know what I mean?
Try and enjoy it, I suppose. But then, you know what? Everything's always about balance, Hugh, or trying to strike that, you know, get it just right in terms of how much emphasis you put in these things. Because what we've maybe fallen into the trap of tonight of saying the result doesn't matter, it's all about the preparation. Now, I know I'm being extreme here. The result will matter if we lose 5-0.
Of course.
So, you know, this in the context of Saturday, we lost 1-0, and I think that's why people are saying, calm down. We were second best in the game, not by loads. They were better than us. We lost 1-0. Relax. I don't think that extends to you can get battered tonight and nobody will bat an eyelid.
Of course. Yeah, I mean, if it was a heavy defeat, then all hell would break loose. But although the Ivory Coast beat South Korea 4-0 at the weekend, and they are above us, in the FIFA World Rankings, I don't think we're quite at the stage where we're afraid of losing by 5 goals to teams.
No, and by the way, that wasn't a prediction. It was more of
I know where you're coming from, but Stevie Clark has to find out certain things. I don't know whether it's this season that's up the ante where people's scrutiny of games is concerned, but you know, it's appears not to be possible to have an indifferent 90 minutes without that being construed as the end of the world. It won't always look like November and Scotland 4, Denmark 2. Sometimes there are nights when you have to get the overalls on and get to work.
Honestly, see if you did, and I respect people's right to boo, but see if you did boo, and now you need to listen to Hugh Keevans telling you. He's the one telling you it's not the end of the world. Wow. Yeah. We need to recalibrate. Ryan Christie's danced his way into the box. He's been crowded out. It has been a positive start by Scotland with 2.5 minutes on the clock. Plenty of attacking. And, a good effort, well saved from the left boot of someone I can't quite see.
I think that was Christie.
From the edge of the box. It's caught it really well. It was heading for the bottom corner.
Yeah, I think it was Ryan Christie.
And it's a good save. Scotland knocking it about quite well early on, actually. Kieran Tierney's going to let fly. Remember what happened in November? No repeat, it goes out for a goal kick.
You know, he got him over at the other side.
The fans, thousands and thousands of Scotland fans, and you know, they're not in the old antiquated stadium that we've got. They're in the state-of-the-art Hill Dickinson in Liverpool, home of Everton, and they seem to be creating an atmosphere that's
and by the way,
motivating.
Sorry, it was George Hurst who danced his way into the box. That's why I was confused at how I said it was Christie, and then Christie hit the shot from the edge of the box.
Yeah, and it was a good save from the goalkeeper. Good positive start from Scotland. I like the fact that he's changed the formation because he's going to have to do that in America. Mm-hmm. He's up against three different teams that will play different styles. You're right, Gordon. So he has to adapt.
The point Stevie makes, Stevie says he's just excited about two up top. I don't care what year it is or how modern football has become. Some people still just like the notion. They believe that two strikers is better than one. That doesn't work that way necessarily, but I understand why people say it.
With Bobo Baldi from the Ivory Coast.
No, we'll get back to that. No. Is it? See, looking at some of Scotland's poorer performances, Gordon, is the bigger question not about how we get the ball up the pitch anyway, rather than who's there and how many are there? And I'm thinking about, take the weekend then as an example, if everyone's scrutinising it. We play Lyndon Dykes. See, when you play Lyndon Dykes and you go long to Lyndon Dykes and he doesn't win the header, what is next? That's always felt like the problem. You know, when he first came in, and there will be certain central defenders he can dominate, but How do we, and especially when Billy Gilmore's not in the team, now he is tonight, but he wasn't at the weekend, how do we build up as a team, to use that modern phrase? How do we get the ball up the pitch? Is that not more of a pressing issue for us?
Well, we've got, everybody talks about our strengths in Midley Park. So we've got to have centre-halves that's going to take the ball from the goalkeeper and try and play out. There's nothing up with playing balls up to Lyndon Dykes, but it's like everything else, Gordon. They've got to be quality balls that he can go either take in, hold it up, and then bring the midfield in, like McTominay, McGinn.
Tell
I know
what,
he's
George Hurst has started.
I thought he'd done okay there.
Exactly like a man who's trying to get on that plane. He looks like he's got so much energy. And he's done really well here. It's cut to the edge of the box and it's fired over the bar. I think the right foot of Ryan Christie this time. Scotland have started really in the front foot here.
Yeah, it's a couple of efforts Christie's had. One with the right foot, one with the left. The left, obviously, a lot better. But you're right. Josh Hurst has started really sharp. Look, this is an opportunity for someone like him because he will be in the back of his mind. He'll be thinking, right, Shankland will come back into the squad. Am I going to be one of these guys that's going to go on this plane? So I need to show what I'm all about.
He probably is still there, isn't he? Is he the fourth, really? Right? So if you go Adams, Dykes, and Shankland, if he comes back fit the way people expect, I think if it was tomorrow, I think it would be Hurst.
Probably. I'm just trying to think MDL's an equation.
Well,
does he look at, for instance, Cormier can play through the middle? He's played there for Middlesbrough.
It's a really, really poor shot, but it's a great, it's a much better, Scott McTominay of all people. The press was really struggled at the weekend, but it's bang on so far tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, they've been at it since the first whistle. I know it's early, it's going on to 7 minutes into the game, but it's really impressive in the fact that they've pressed very high, putting them under pressure, getting support to the front too, which is good as well. Here's the press coming again. I wonder if Ivory Coast will play out or try and just play long. Is that somebody?
No, the old Nokia is causing chaos in here. That's great.
That's Fergie down in Everton Stadium there.
Yeah, but
once again, they've won
it back,
Gordon. That's very, very good for Scotland. Good press.
We've solved the acoustic problem at Hampden to play the games at the Hill Dickinson.
So we can start renting it out.
Yeah.
And this is Ivory Coast home game, of course, just in case anyone's wondering. Do that a bit over the years. Did we not play? We played Nigeria at Craven Cottage or something many years ago. I remember that.
Can't remember.
It was a friendly. It was.
Well, I'll tell you what. If we beat Ivory Coast tonight, I'm expecting them to get booed off the pitch.
I think so. Fans disgusted.
Yeah, disgusted. Not having it, we get beat at home.
It's been a really positive start for Scotland, but obviously there is still work to be done. 7.5 minutes gone. That's all. Don't need to go overboard with it. Ivory Coast 0, Scotland 0. But Scotland will be happy enough so far. Who are the seven players from the Ivory Coast who've played for either of the Old Firm since 2002? You've got Mohamed Diomande, who is currently there. You've got Kolo Touré, Brendan Rodgers' first spell. Remember that? Any others?
I'm going to go for the. He hardly played for Celtic centre forward. Is it Bayo?
It is Vakun Bayo. He is there, and Scotland defending for the first time. It is hacked away, Vakun Bayo. Well done. Okay, we'll get the other four when we return. Before we go any further, you, Gordon DL, will like the sound of this.
The world's biggest music quiz for Cash for Kids Day.
When we have our Super Scoreboard quiz, you're hopeless at everything apart from the music round. Mm-hmm. So this could be your calling. The 30th of April, Cash for Kids Day, we're going to do something different that we've never done before. So we're going to host the world's biggest music quiz. There's some brilliant prizes to be won. £10,000 to improve your home, £5,000 in cash, even a 3-month meal subscription to HelloFresh. Perfect for you.
Yeah.
Don't you think? In from the show, brilliant. Rustle up a meal.
Yeah.
Anyway, you could make a life-changing difference to children that need your help as well. So it is a win-win. Something we've never done before, as we said. We want you to be a part of it. All you need to do, make a donation to Cash for Kids, and you'll be joining us on your lunch break for a bit of fun. The whole Rail network of radio stations is involved. It's all powered by the legendary music quiz Popmaster. So make your donation now at Cash for Kids, Clyde1.com/Cash for Kids, and we'll see you Thursday, 30th of April at 1 p.m.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
13.5 gone at the Hill Dickinson Stadium. Really bright start by Scotland on the front foot, pressing, attacking. And now 1-0 behind, because they were attacking. A chance up one end, Ivory Coast broke, shot across the face, back off the post, and tapped in from close range. It's only a friendly and all that. Quite, that'll be a real annoyance to Steve Clark, though, Gordon, because you can concede in any manner of ways. They had started the game pretty well.
They did. And 13, 14 minutes in, I've started booing already. I've got to say, you're right, Gordon. I thought they looked very lively. They were on the front foot. They were doing well. They were getting the ball up the park. They were causing a few problems. And then they just get they get caught in a counter-attack. And it was a real poor goal to lose. The lads made a good run in. It's a ball in behind the defenders. Kelly, everybody's standing watching it, thinking it's getting in the far post. It's trickling towards it. Comes off the post, flat foot it. Boy, easy tap in. So, no, I don't think he'll be too pleased with the goal, but I think he'll be pleased with the start.
Well, if you're going to lose a goal, Daz.
Lose it early, Hugh.
And Scotland still look buoyant. I don't think they've been shattered by the loss of that goal. Maybe a bit flat footed, defensively speaking, but. Long way to go yet.
And then that's that, maybe that balance that we're, that Scotland will be trying to figure out, Gordon. You know, if you're not as attacking as we have been in the opening 10 minutes, you maybe don't leave yourself open. Every team in the world's trying to strike that balance. Obviously we've got strengths in some areas, limitations in others. I think it was at John McGinn the other day who said something like, you know, well, if we open up and then we get battered in a friendly, then people will definitely boo. They were a bit open, having already gone up the other end to attack, weren't they?
Yeah, they had the two wing backs high up, of course they did, but they still had enough back. They had the three centre backs there.
Oh, it was a proper man over though when it came out to that right
well,
side.
Well, I still think that Steve Clarke will look at that goal conceded, and I know every manager does, let's be honest about it, but it was a real, it wasn't a great goal to lose, if you know what I mean. Sometimes there's goals you just got to put your hands up and say, well, there was absolutely nothing we could do about that. Yeah, we get caught a little bit, and then obviously watching it go towards the far post, you're thinking, right, it's got to get in there. All of a sudden it comes off the post, and the disappointing bit about it is all our players are flat-footed. We don't react to it at all, and it's an easy tap-in, and obviously we're behind 1-0. But as you said, there was good positive signs, plenty of time still to go.
And there are still positive signs, but we're in a game here, and they're going for a second there, and it's a deflected for a corner. So we're in a game, but the first 16 minutes have been better than the 90-odd minutes that I watched on Saturday.
A frustration one for Liam Kelly as well, Gordon, at the type of goal that you maybe end up looking a bit daft as a goalie, but I don't really know what else. Should he do something different?
Right, the only thing is, he can't do anything about the original one that beats him into the far post. But when you watch him, I think Liam Kelly expects that's going in the back of net. And he's really, for me, in hindsight, I think he should be on his toes a little bit better.
He started nervously, Liam Kelly. But
the thing again, is, Hugh, it's a hard one for him. He's coming into his game tonight. He's another one that wants to impress. He's not had a lot of football.
No.
You know, he's not had a lot of first-team games. I think he'll be disappointed, not with the original shot, but when it comes off the post, I think he's caught really flat-footed.
How are you two faring on this teaser, by the way? We were looking for the seven players from the Ivory Coast who've played for the Old Firm since 2002. You've got Diomande, Bayo, maybe one of the slightly trickier ones, and Kolo Touré.
How many do we still get?
Four.
Oh no, we're struggling here. I might be out.
Yeah, your geography's not great. We gotta go. But,
right, the lad that came, Celtic, Southampton, is it Elion, is he?
He's Norwegian. Close though.
No.
Really close.
No, no, is he? Right, okay. No, he's never played with Ivory. Is he?
It's not him.
No.
One, I'll give you the breakdown just if it helps in any way. One more Rangers, three more Celtic.
What about, right, I'm scared to say now, what about the wee lad that plays with Manchester United?
Yes.
What's his name, Hugh? Wee Emilio Danilo or something. What's his name?
Close. He's on the bench tonight, I think, for Ivory Coast.
Because I've seen it. Is it, it's not Danilo?
Nah, I'll give you, I'll give you. I'm a Diallo.
Okay, right.
Which means three to get. The only thing that's worrying me is the three are definitely harder than Amad Diallo.
Oh,
so
dear.
Don't hold out too much hope.
So is that that's the Rangers one? So it's Celtic.
Three Celtic ones. Anyway, 19 gone at the Hill Dickinson. Scotland have dropped a bit. Like we said, they started really brightly. They conceded a goal. They then kind of still threatened a bit going up the other end, and they've still shown some nice little passes and nice passages. It's just not quite as cohesive as it was, and Ivory Coast are starting to show a bit more danger. They're finding spaces a bit easier than they were at the start.
Although Hurst has immediately taken the eye. Again, I do appreciate it's early in the game, but he's one man SWAT team up front there.
Do you know other things concern me, Hugh? I'm watching them as they're growing into the game. I think there's still a few gears to find.
Yeah,
I really do.
Yeah, the passing's about like a parcel.
They look very comfortable on the ball, relaxed, everything. They've got that one goal lead. We just need to be careful, because it could be, as much as we're sitting here going, oh, nearly 20 minutes into the game, it's been positive, front foot, talking about the front two, getting forward. Christie's had a couple of shots and goals. All of a sudden, you can find yourself really behind in the game. So just need to be careful.
Really good pass, though, from Billy Gilmore. He's the only one, Gordon, isn't he, that really plays that type of, you know, they talk about breaking the lines and really getting us forward. When he's not there, because even to be fair, and I know we now spend all of our time debating his club form, but stylistically, Callum McGregor would have been a bit more of that mould. You know, and there would have been games where the two of them would play and the midfield becomes a bit more possession based.
Yeah.
This is not a criticism of guys who've done excellent in the recent campaign, but at the weekend, if Kenny McLean, Lewis Ferguson, they're just a different type. It's a different type of midfield. It leads to a different type.
I think Gilmore's the best at playing that role. There's no doubt. He's like a safety blanket when the defenders get it, and he's prepared to take it in tight situations as well. That's what I like about him. He's confident in his own ability. That's what he likes to do. He takes it, he's got good control, he's got a great first touch, he's a very clever footballer. So if we're going to play that way, then he must be a cert to start, because that's the way we can play through the lines, especially with him. I'm glad that caller's not on the phone. He'd be gone.
Big dunk.
Yeah, a bit of a lull in play. There's a Ivory Coast player getting treatment at the moment as we tick towards.
And there's Gary.
Yeah, pretty much every Scotsman who's got any sort of relationship with the north of England is there.
Let's just
take that. The TV director is having a fun time, I'm sure, because they'll just be constantly getting told, zoom in on this guy, zoom in on that guy.
They'll be looking at Gabs in a minute.
Oh, no, they're not that desperate. I don't think so.
Oh, there another one, Graham Sharp.
Right, is this what we're seriously going to do?
Yeah. We, rather than the quiz, we'll name all the players that played with Scotland.
Who did Graham Sharp play for up here?
Up here?
Yeah.
Oh, is that Falkirk or something?
No.
Hold on, don't tell me.
I don't like the silence, it doesn't work.
No, I think you maybe have to tell me, give us a clue there.
Dumbarton.
Oh, sure he did. Ah, and he went to Everton, he was an Everton legend, wasn't he? I should have got that, Hugh.
Nice,
it's
man.
McTominay taking a little.
No, it's the, no, I think it's not. He just accidentally caught the Ivory Coast player. It didn't look like one that would cause much of an injury. It just looked like a tap on the shin. But anyway,
I thought it was McTominay who was getting it.
There's a proper lull in play at the moment because of that. And again, this is part of it as well, Hugh. This is a friendly pace when it gets to this bit.
I just wonder how experimental Stevie Clark would get in the second half. If the score were to remain at 1-0 for the Ivory Coast, or would he be conscious of how the newspapers might look in the morning? And
depends, though, because, I mean, this is experimental to start, Gordon. We mentioned this is Dominic Hyam's first start for Scotland. This is Liam Kelly's first start for Scotland. Ross McCrory has started one Scotland friendly before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's quite a lot there of experimenting being done already.
Yeah, I don't think you can come in for a lot of criticism. Of course, comes with the territory if you get beat a 4 or 5. If you look at this team, come the first game in the World Cup, they'll be lucky, 3, maybe 4 playing?
Who knows? Yeah. Anyway, it's
so
1-0,
it is experimental.
1-0 at the moment, a quarter of the way through the game. Scotland have done quite well, but they're behind, so it depends if you're a performance or a results type of guy, and we'll pour over it all tomorrow. We need 3 more former Celtic players who played for the Ivory Coast. You've got Bayo and Touré for the Rangers side. You've got Diomande and Diallo. One was a Martin O'Neill first spell defender, maybe even, yeah, well, it would have been 2002, so he would have still been there.
Left centre back.
But I think he was probably there before Martin arrived, I think.
Left centre back.
Oliver Tebbeley.
Tebbeley.
Now, two midfielders, two kind of defensive, dogged midfielders that never really quite got going, different times, kind of. One was their COVID type of season. Ismaila Soro and Aboue Kouassi. We're back at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Have a good one.